John 15, we are in Jesus' first four verses as he is leaving the upper room. He is now giving instruction to his disciples, teaching about himself as the vine and they as the branches. We read this, "I am the true vine," verse 1, "and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Lord, help us now as we come to your word. Give me words of clarity that reflect faithfully on the text of Scripture which you have written, that it could be useful in the ears of your hearer. And Holy Spirit, take it from the ear to the mind and heart and do what only you can do and preach the sermon that should be preached and that you sovereignly will preach. I stand in that confidence that you will preach to the heart and mind of every individual who hears me far better than I could ever hope to. And so use frail words for infinite purposes in your hand. Point us to Christ, as Terry has already so well stated, as the hope and the object of all of our affections and our faith. Point us to Jesus, we pray, the true vine, in his name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we began verse 1, and we made it through the first phrase, "I am the true vine." And now I want to go back and pick up on the rest of that in these opening three verses of Jesus' statement. Jesus is telling his disciples that there really is no other focus. There is no other source in which they should root their life and root their hope and root their love outside of him. There is nothing else beside Jesus. And by virtue of stating it in the positive, the negative in which he is calling them to consider is this, that if you find yourself attached to or focused upon anything else, then you had better jettison that thing and do it quickly. And the reason for that is given in the second phrase of chapter 15 and verse 1. Jesus, yes, is the true vine, but notice this, his Father is the vine dresser. We need not only look at the vine, we need to be reminded that there is a vine dresser. And there is a reality of relationship between the vine and the vine dresser and the branches. And Jesus now moves us into that reality of relationship that is so critical that his disciples and that we this morning take note of. Because not only does it shed light on the relationship of the vine, Jesus, to the vine dresser, his Father, but also on our relationship to the Father as well. One of the things that we have been trained to do in our evangelism in the church of the 20th and 21st century, and I don't think it's a particularly helpful practice, is that we talk to people about needing to have a relationship with God. We need to stop doing that. Because every human being ever born has a relationship with God. The question is, what type of relationship is it? Is it one of a father and child in salvation, or is it one of a criminal and a judge in a courtroom? Everyone has a relationship to the Father. The question is, how are you related to the Father? It is not as though no relationship existed. One does, but what is the nature of that relationship? Jesus, as the vine, does not exist outside the will of the Father. And all that the Son does as the vine is the will of the Father, and it involves us, and we must consider it this morning, Jesus in earlier chapters, chapter 6, verse 40 says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Jesus has come to make that possible. Jesus has come to establish the way for us to have a saving relationship with the Father. And so as Jesus continues on here, and you'll see this unfold throughout this metaphor of the vine and the branch and the vine dresser throughout it, Jesus demonstrates that the Father did not just send the vine, Jesus, but he continues to tend that vine. He continues to care for the vine. The work of the Father is predicated on his relationship to the Son and the Son to the Father. And us then, because of being branches off of that vine, our relationship to him as well. Jesus says, I am the vine, but you need to be reminded there is a vine dresser, and the vine dresser is infinitely concerned with his relationship to me and his work in me and his work in those who reside in me. As Jesus is preparing the disciples now for some very difficult truths, we need to be reminded that it is only the vine that pleases the Father. Only the vine, only Christ himself has ever or could ever perfectly please the Father. By his perfect and faithful life, Jesus has pleased the Father. By his perfect death and resurrection, Jesus has pleased and satisfied the Father. We can't do that. We don't have that capacity. But Christ does. The vine does. And the Father has come to care for and to protect and to nurture and produce more branches from that vine, that Christ would be more clearly known. Jesus says of himself being the vine planted by the Father and now tended by the Father in John 8:29, I always do the things that are pleasing to him, meaning the Father. Imagine being able to say that. I always do that which is pleasing to the Father. Are we aware that the branches that come off the vine can only say one thing? We've never done anything that pleases the Father in the way that the vine has pleased the Father. The branch simply finds his life in the vine, his identity in the vine. We'll get to that in a moment. But we cannot bear fruit in and of ourselves. We'll get to that next week, Lord willing. Look at verse 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, unless we are abiding in and finding our relationship to the Father and the Father's approval of us in what the vine has done through us, we're nothing. And that's why it's necessary to have a vine dresser. As we will see, none are capable of bearing fruit outside of the Son. None have lived perfectly as he has. None have absorbed the wrath of the Father for rebellious actions as Christ did for us. Not for himself, but for us. And so because the vine can do these things, the vine has done these things for us, and he has always pleased the Father. Now notice what Jesus says. My Father is the vine dresser. He is the one who has sent me. He is the one who has planted me. He is the one who has cared for me. And now verse 2, there is a reality of the purpose for which the Father and the Son have done this. And it is this. Fruit bearing, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. There is a purpose that we would bear fruit. The will of the Father is that the branches that are in the Son would produce fruit worthy of the vine, worthy of its source. The vine dresser has come not because the vine needs work, Jesus needs nothing. But the branches that come off of Jesus need a lot of work, don't we? Christ is perfect. I'm imperfect. You're imperfect. But the vine dresser comes, and every branch that is in Jesus that is not bearing fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. How do we please the Father? Only as long as we're in the vine, in the work of the vine, for the purpose for which the vine was sent. And as those branches, there are expectations that if you claim to be in the vine and you are somehow attaching yourself to the vine, you had better bear fruit consistent with the vine. Otherwise, the vine dresser is coming. And the vine dresser does a work that every branch he sees that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He cuts off. Now, there's a word play in the Greek here that does not come across in the English at all, but it is literally a play on words. They're very similar words. It is that he cuts off and cuts clean. He cuts off and he cuts it clean. There is complete removal. That removal is judgment. We don't get to just profess the name of Jesus and claim to be a follower of Jesus and live as though there's no importance or relevance to fruit that's produced in the life. God, the vine dresser, the Father is searching for fruit. And where there are branches that never bear fruit, that have no fruit, he cuts it off and cuts it clean. And he takes it away from the vine. Now, we talked about in the introduction 2 weeks ago that the pseudo vines that grow, particularly that plant that often gets into a vineyard known as porcelain berry. It looks real, but it eventually chokes out the true vine and the true branches so that it kills the entire thing. The Father has come to rid the vine of such pseudo vines. Now I want you to notice something interesting. You say, well, I don't know that I can swallow this because nobody's perfect and this fruit bearing thing sounds sort of judgmental. Mind you that it is the Father doing it, not me. And it's not you. It's the infinitely wise and all-knowing God who's doing the searching. He never makes a mistake about what he concludes. Would you agree with that? His conclusions are perfect. And notice that he uses this phrase three times in verse 2 alone. Bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. Three times, one verse. That's significant. I think he's trying to get something across, that fruit production matters. That the Father takes it seriously. And the branches that never bear fruit, the Father cuts off, cuts clean, and takes away. Notice that he does not prune these in the hopes that they will produce fruit. He knows that they are not genuine, and so he takes them away. The ones he knows are genuine, he prunes, but these he cuts off and takes away. And if you go down to verse 6, which we'll get to, what is done with these? They are cast aside so that they dry up, and then they are cast into the fire and burned. They suffer ultimate loss. Why? The Father sees no fruit in them. There's judgment coming. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus echoes this, and he says that you will know them by their fruits. This isn't judgmental. This is discerning what is genuine and belonging, what is in the Son and what is outside of the Son, what is finding nourishment and life in the Son and what is trying to create life on its own. Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? How do you know a plant? By what it produces. I try to plant a garden every spring. I have lofty expectations. I even have the little mini greenhouse thing, you know, from Sam's or from Lowe's that comes with the light and the trays. And this past year, I thought I'm going to get the seeds started early in the winter, put them in my barn where they'll stay warm. And I made the mistake of tearing away the label on the package so that I couldn't tell what the seeds were. And there's all these little bitty seeds that I can't tell what kind of plants they are. Oh, well, plant them anyway. Why? Because I know when they come up, I'll know what it is. How? By the fruit. I don't need the label on the package. I can plant the seed anyway because when it comes up, it'll be clear. Jesus is saying the same is true. And the vine dresser is, in his infinite, sovereign, perfect knowledge, knows the branches that are not bearing fruit, that fail his examination. He tests the vine and or the branch, and he takes it out of the vine. Why? There's no life in it, no fruit-bearing life. It may seem like there's life, it may feel like there's life, but there's no life there. Not the life of fruit production, which is what the vine dresser is looking for. And again, he makes no mistakes in his estimation. He's God. He knows all. Jesus is dealing with people, with men who are living in a culture, in a religious culture, in a nation that has never borne the fruit of faith as a whole. And he's warning them that though you're religious, you're barren. And this is the same as we hear the angel in Revelation. You're busy. You think you're bearing fruit, but you're not. You're barren. Therefore, it's going to be taken away. The branch will be cut out of the vine. Why? It failed the test of bearing fruit. The connection that bears fruit and the distinction that bears fruit is faith, genuine faith in the vine, in the Son. And this is what was missing for so many around Jesus. We read in John 1:11 that was true, that he came to his own and his own did not receive him. They would not believe that he was the Son of God. That has been the story for the entire Gospel of John. Very few have believed. They've done a lot of rejecting, but not a lot of believing. And the link there to the vine, to fruit production, is faith. Everyone must believe that Jesus is who he says he is. The Son sent from God, the Messiah sent for the salvation of sinners. And this becomes the vine dresser's ultimate criteria for removal or for pruning. What did you do with the vine? What do you believe about Jesus? That is the ultimate determiner. If you believe all that Jesus said, you will bear fruit. If you don't, you will not, and you will be cut out. Now, I must also remind you that this is not sterile belief, for the demons also believe, and they tremble, but they do not submit. There is a difference in academic belief and genuine saving faith. One must not only give mental assent to the vine and mental assent as to who Jesus is, but one must believe with the heart. All hope placed upon Jesus. Not that he is the Son of God, but that he is the source of our life, that he alone in his death, burial, and resurrection provides forgiveness for sin. And we lean fully upon that. What do you do with the vine? How have you found yourself rooted in the vine? Are you a branch that believes in that way? Or are you a branch that is a pseudo branch that will be cut off, cut clean, and taken away? It all depends on what you do with the Son, with the true vine. You must believe. You must accept. You must rely upon. As Terry said, Jesus as our only hope. That he is our life. And it is hidden and it is found and it is buried deep within the vine if our branch is to produce any fruit. For these men and for the people and for the culture that surrounds Jesus' words and these situations in John's gospel, everything else that they have done has merely been a prelude to the real thing, to bring about the true vine. The ceremonial law, the national, all of this was to point to and ultimately to give birth to the Messiah and to bring him about. And apart from him, none of that matters. None of that has any meaning. And now that he has come, he has fulfilled all true meaning. And he must be the thing that alone they hope in and rest in. Everything else must be scuttled. Why? Because Christ fulfilled it all. Christ accomplished it all. Christ came as the perfect embodiment of all that they had represented in their ceremonies and all of these things. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That is how, and in that faith, they must be rooted into the vine as branches. And we considered last time, if you'll remember, what Paul says in Philippians 3. He's talking to these disciples, and his heart is for them, and his heart is for the people who have heard him preach, and yet so many have rejected. And we are reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, as a Pharisee, perfect, zealous, prosecuting the law, all of these things. And then what does he say? And I counted all as loss that I might know Christ. All of that boiled down to Christ, pointing him to Christ. Another consideration for you this morning as we think about how all of this is distilling down to Jesus and the supremacy of Jesus. Think about the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, written to Hebrews, most likely by a Hebrew, takes every opportunity and at every turn points to Jesus. Not a religious system, not traditions, not ceremonies, but to Christ as the true fulfillment of everything. Christ is superior. Christ is superior. Christ is superior. Christ is, forget the other things, it's Christ. The writer of Hebrews, you would think, if he was going to open some window by which the branch could be in the vine, sort of through all these other mechanisms and means, you would think it would be in that book of all places that he would mention that, but he doesn't. It's the superiority of Christ as the true vine, and we needing to be in him. Jesus says, if you are, it'll reveal itself by the fruit. And where the vine dresser finds no fruit, he will cut off and cut clean and remove it. But notice what he does when he does find one branch that is in the vine and it is bearing fruit. It may be small fruit. It may be microscopic fruit like some of the stuff I've grown. It may be there, but it just needs some help. And so what does the Father do when he finds one, regardless of the maturity of the vine, or I'm sorry, of the branch? Takes out the pruning shears and he begins to prune. He prunes so that, what does the scripture say? He prunes so that it may bear what? More fruit. It doesn't say he does this when the plant is a seedling and then he stops. There's no time limit on this. God, as the ultimate vine dresser, for those who are in Jesus and producing fruit, God is always pruning us so that we bear more fruit. Taking things away, some of you who have grown tomato plants, you'll be familiar with the term sucker, where the tomato plant splits and you get this little thing in the middle and it sucks up a lot of nutrients, so you break it off. I read something two years ago, from a gardener that I follow on social media, and talking about the different kinds of branches of a tomato plant. And I never knew that, but you can actually feel them and tell which is which. One will only ever grow foliage, the other grows fruit. And so you cut the one that does only grow the foliage so that all the nutrient goes into the fruit-bearing branches. And I got to tell you, it worked. I had more cherry tomatoes than we could eat. Because all the nutrients are focused in. That's what the Father does. He comes and he takes out everything out of it. Not only does he remove the false branches, But he prunes the true ones so that more fruit is produced. And he doesn't do it in anger. We read this in Hebrews chapter 12, speaking of Hebrews. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. Read, pruned. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines or prunes. And he scourges every son whom he receives, every branch that has been grafted into the vine, into the son. God's going to prune you. But not in anger. He's going to take away everything that hinders you from bearing true fruit. By their fruit you will know them. We could also say this. By their pruning you know them. If we can say, you know, I've gone through my life and God's never pruned me. He's never done anything that to me. You should be worried. Because God prunes every branch that he loves so that it may bear more fruit. Is it painful? Yes. But it is always for the greater production of fruit, for greater glory, for greater joy, for greater God-honoring fruit. Jesus now moves on to verse 3. You can imagine the disciples sitting there and getting a little bit uncomfortable, and maybe you're in that boat right now saying, am I the kind that's being cut out and hauled off, or am I the kind that's being pruned? What are we, Lord? Where do I fit? And Jesus, in kindness to his disciples, remember Judas has already left, so he can say to these men who remained, who were truly in the vine, he says this, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Don't you know that came as a breath of fresh air? So we're in? Yes, you're in. You got a lot of pruning coming your way, but you're in. You're in. Why? You are clean. You are in because of the word that I have spoken to you. Again, John uses and he hearkens back to the idea of cutting clean. Cleansed, purged. And he's saying, you have already been purged. Your sins have been cleaned from you. They have been purged from you. I've already begun that pruning work now in you. And you have been grafted into the vine. How have I been grafted into the vine? By the word which Jesus spoke to them. It is a word they have believed. And it is the word of God doing the work of God in them. And because of that, they're in the vine. Jesus will say in just a few chapters in his high priestly prayer before the Father in John 17, 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. What does the word do? It sanctifies us. It prunes us. It cleans us. It does the work. No other mechanism given does that. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is like that sword, isn't it? For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Jesus says, my word has gone deep within you, and it has done the work in you, and you have believed it. And how do we know that it's done the work? You're already bearing fruit. You'll bear more fruit because the vine dresser will see to it that you're pruned. So take heart. Take heart, Christian. The vine dresser, as well as the vine, is in view. And he is at work in us. But the call remains the same. We must believe so that we are true branches placed into the vine of Jesus. Leaving everything else behind. Finding our life in Christ. Though their faith and their fruit is small now, and it will continue to be small for some time, Jesus says, you're clean. you're in. Now prepare for the pruning. Think about the disciples. My goodness, what pruning had to take place. Peter, I don't know who he is. Well, that's one you need to wrestle with in your doctrine of sanctification. How is it that Jesus looks at Peter and says, you're clean, and then Peter goes out and denies the Lord? You see, even believers are capable of great sin, are we not? We must guard our hearts from that. But Peter, in a moment of weakness, denies the Lord. Thomas refuses to meet, refuses to believe until Jesus comes. And he says, Thomas, okay, if you need the proof, here's the proof. But blessed are those who believe having not seen. What a rebuke. What a rebuke. But what a gracious vine dresser. What a gracious vine that though our fruit is small, he will continue the work. Philippians 1:6. He who begun the good work in you will be faithful to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that encouraging? I know what fruit I'm capable of producing, and it's the grand total of zero. Nothing. There's nothing good in me. There's nothing good in you. But there is a good vine. And as long as by faith you are in the vine, the fruit will be produced. It will be his life. We'll talk about this more next week. It is his life and his fruit coming up from within us. It's not the life of the branch. The branch doesn't have life. The vine does. Nothing else will matter. Nothing else matters now. It will not matter in eternity other than being in the vine. Everything else is going to be stripped away. Everything else that is stripped away will be burned. It will suffer ultimate loss. Accept that which is in Jesus. Accept that which is in Christ. What will be left in your life? Will there be fruit of any size? Will there be a connection to the vine, that point where you have branched off from the vine and are now bearing fruit? May God make it so that we, by the discernment of the Spirit in us, can tell whether or not we're the genuine article. May God make that so. And where we find there is no fruit and there is no life, we repent and we turn to the Son in faith and be rooted into the vine. And where we find that we are, may God give us the grace to endure the pruning and give us the insight to know that it is God at work and he's not angry with us. He is pruning us for more fruit, so that we give a greater reflection of the vine that we are in. That's what he wants, to testify to the vine, and the fruit of our life will do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help us to have the discernment as to what our life says and what the fruit of our life says. And where we find that we may be lacking the fruit of the vine, may you give us grace to repent and to believe. If that's the necessary case for anyone here, give them the grace, Lord, to repent and to turn to Christ in faith, to believe in him. And Lord, for those of your children who are here this morning, who are in the vine, but their life is needing that pruning so that more fruit is produced, cause them to understand that and to know that and to trust your sovereign and wise hand in the act of pruning, knowing that you are the one who is at work and you will not fail. You make no mistakes. So Lord, help us to trust you. May we desire to produce fruit. May we do the things that we can do that accompany that, to feed the fruit, to spend time in your word, time in prayer, time meditating on your word. Cause us to grow in Christ, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen.